Case number 11,363, Donald J. Erickson, northeast corner of the intersection of Road 270A, Munchie Branch Road, and Parsonage Road. Tax map is District 334, Map 13, District, or Parcel 8.04, a special use exception for off-site parking.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
My name is John Barwick. I'm with Karen's and Associates.
Where? Where's it?
Karen's and Associates. We have an office in Georgetown and Newark.
Okay.
My experience, I spent 12 years at the Conservation District as a program manager before I went into the private sector. And I've stood here before the Board of Adjustment 4 years ago for this very same project. And,
You just state your name and address for the record again.
John Barwick, 129 Gosling Creek Road, Lewis, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
The whole truth, nothing but the truth.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Now, sir.
Okay. As you can see by the rendering that I have up on the easel, and I believe you were provided with the plan, it is an overflow parking lot located...
You can see that very plainly, can't you? I can't see it at all.
I'm sorry.
Won't you turn it this way?
There you
That's
go.
That's it.
Apologize. I thought you were giving... Okay, you got site plans, too. Okay. The plan I stood before and presented 3 years ago was for 44 parking spaces. And at the time, we did not have any approvals, and it did go through the approval process to meet the stormwater requirements. It went down to 35 spaces. It did get DLDOT approval, fire marshal approval. It had all the approvals. The client only owned the area where the furniture store is presently located on Route 1, and he thought the overflow parking would be a good idea if he could find a developer that wanted to get rid of the furniture store and do the plans that he had for that parcel of land. Well, he watched what was happening to the adjacent parcel to the north, and if anybody's familiar with what happened with Quiznos, and then after that, Bonwitch, and the empty storefronts, he didn't feel there was a real impetus to spend the $25,000 to put the DLDOT entrance in. So it expired, and then he had an opportunity to acquire that adjacent parcel of land. We have gone through the process of closing off one entrance and putting a new entrance. Now that Finn's Ale House is there, it has been wildly popular. It's packing them in, and it's working as an anchor store. And so now that place is filling up, and there's a real serious issue with not enough parking. People are parking on the grass along Parsonage Road. It's come to the attention that this parking is needed. So before all the approvals for stormwater and for DLDOT expire, which is this summer, he decided to go ahead and have me come in and see if we could get the special use exception granted again, because that's the only thing. I don't need to tell you about the code. There's nothing for just a parking lot within the code. And it's kind of a unique shape of parcel because with the setbacks and requirements, it's very difficult to put a typical commercial use within that parcel. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the board? We'll start with you and Mr. Rickards. This one.
How many spaces are you looking at again? 34 spaces?
34.
Okay. I wonder where my math was
going. No, you're right. I apologize.
Okay. Your overflow now is going into used to be Webster's parking lot. Is that correct?
The overflow parking, the original intention was to serve just the parcel where the furniture store is presently.
Tonight they're in that parking lot, is that correct?
And they're eventually going to get rid, the other plan that we had done got approved, and you'll see Melvin Joseph out there doing the work, is to interconnect those two parcels. They're going to take out the grass and the landscape, so you have connections all the way through it. So that's already going forth. But everybody is parking for Finn's Ale House. It's at the opposite end. So people are packing it in on that end. And instead of coming back out and going to Webster's and then walking, because there's no real interconnection, there's no sidewalks, and they'd have to walk across grass. So there's no real interconnection. And it, there's also a availability for additional, there's still empty units within that strip mall. And Mr. My client that owns that property also has plans to eventually maybe possibly reducing the furniture store and doing something within that.
All right, let me ask you this. What is your, what square footage area now are you involved in the restaurant, Finn's? Are you going to meet the, we have a parking requirement.
Okay. The parking requirement was originally established for retail.
It's for each 50 square feet. Okay, for eating places and taverns.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have one parking place.
Correct.
For 50 square feet of for patron use plus one or two for your two employees. So in other words, how many parking places? The 34 is going to cover that plus out front?
Well, presently the parcel is has 78 spaces. And that the issue is that the original spaces were all under retail designation for the parking to establish that parcel. And when I met with Mr. Lank, he said that's acceptable within the code. If a restaurant moves in, that doesn't change the parking site plan requirements.
It doesn't?
No, sir.
Mr. Sharp?
I think that's a better question for Ms. Thibodeau.
When the site plan was approved, it was approved for the retail. So because, and I do believe Mr. Lang said that when the restaurant came in, it didn't change their approved amount of parking.
Because you increased that restaurant. You've acquired other vacant stores in there, right,
for your restaurant. If you were doing a new set of plans for a typical same use and you were stating and declaring this use as a restaurant, you would have to meet within the code for a restaurant.
Right.
But when it was done, it was done as retail.
It was done as retail.
Yes, sir.
Okay, for the strip mall.
Correct.
Itself. Okay. So you've got 34 spaces there. Now, how are you going to get them across the street? What, do they walk across the street?
No, sir. Yes, they walk across the street. From Bell Dot, we have this crosswalk.
Right.
And the purpose of this overflow parking is not... With Finn's Ale House, at some of their busiest times during their happy hour, they have up to 20 employees, and they all drive their own cars. They don't carpool. They don't get together. So the agreements that have been made with everybody within that strip mall, all the employers, is that supposed to be like the employee parking lot.
Okay.
To free up all the parking in the back of the building. Like right now, there's like he's got dishwashers, people parking in the grass right now, and it's causing a bit of a safety concern.
And you said there are 20 employees there are, right?
At times, between the dishwashers, the chefs, the hosts, the busboys, and
so
the waiters.
You could only use 14 patrons places there probably, right?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you about the lighting. Is there anything surrounding that area? I noticed there's a existing trailer there. What's on
yes,
the
sir.
Beach Haven is there also?
Yes, there is an existing trailer which is also owned by the same landowner, which is Mr. Erickson.
Okay.
He leases that to somebody. The lighting wasn't proposed because to keep it unobtrusive. So it wouldn't, you
That's
know,
what I was going to ask, because it would
yeah.
be an issue
yes.
in that area.
And Beach Haven, as you can see from the site plan, not so much by this graphic, it's very light. I mean, this is a parking lot.
Okay.
And then there's another double bone of parking here,
right?
Then the townhome. So you have a parking lot to a parking lot. So it's not.
So you don't have these bright lights that are.
No, sir. No. Again, it's Mr. Hamer, the restaurateur of Finn's, made it very clear that all the employees would be required to park there, and any female employees were to be walked out by a male to the parking lot.
You're following me right up the street.
Well, everybody's very sensitive to it because...
That's a dark area in that area.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, my mom was recently at Brandywine, so I was always back and forth through there all the time. Mm-hmm. And lighting was discussed, and it was not pursued for the very reason not to make it obtrusive to anybody. It was basically just asphalt for people to park on for the employees. And I also wanted to point out, if it's not real clear, the graphic artist that showed the pond as blue, it's not a wet pond. It's an infiltration pond. It'll be a grass bowl that takes the water and infiltrates it into the groundwater.
And you're going to put some, it looks like some, trees or anything like that?
I think the intention's more for like some shrubbery.
Shrubbery?
Not, yes. Not really tall, obtrusive things.
Not intrusive. You could not see the cars parked in there like it would be.
Yeah. There wasn't a requirement for a landscape plan. Matter of fact, it was to make it, right now it's just a grass lot.
That's right, yeah.
And it's going to have this big stormwater area that is actually buffering it from the roadways as people go by it. So it's not, it's just going to get, you know, with going up and down Route 1 and in the character of the area, and it's only in my humble opinion that it's not really something that's going to be an eyesore or cause any conflicts with the surrounding areas.
Let me ask you another question. When you get across the street, let's say, okay, is there any plan to have any in the rear of that building, any further lighting or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, sir. Yes. Okay. Matter of fact, we had to do, the furniture guy wasn't really happy because he has a big storage trailer in that grassed area that's fenced in. He's going to lose all that, and that's going to be additional pavement for interconnection for the two parcels as they're going to become one, like pizza-shaped property. And there's sidewalks, dumpsters, fire lanes, fire connections.
Right, yeah.
Yes, sir. That's all approved. And matter of fact, we just had our pre-construction meeting this morning, and all the signs are going to be put up. And we were kind of concerned DelDOT's going to make a 10-day waiting period before they can start construction. And we're like, wow, we're getting close to that May 15th date. So everybody's on pins and needles with that. And the hope was that while Melvin Joseph was mobilized on this site, that there was a possibility that could just mobilize right on over. And DelDOT was kind enough to make an exception on the restricted times and will allow construction on this lot on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the summer. So it's something that my client's very hopeful and the restaurateur is very hopeful that could proceed, because it would be very helpful. And it's been wildly successful. Every time I tend to go by there, I've, of course, never been in there, but it's very popular. I guess he's done a good job with his other restaurants.
Oh, it has another restaurant right in Rehoboth, is that correct?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
Yeah, if that's any indication, yes.
Right.
It's going to be successful. I don't have any more questions. Did I understand you right? You haven't started any construction yet, correct?
No, the only construction that was done was within the other parcel, within the front parcel that's already been approved and receives all its approvals.
Oh, okay.
And that was more architectural. Webster's had like a bump out that came out, and they just sheared it flush to the building, because that eventually will be the connection for that. The road's going to flow through there.
I think you answered my questions.
Mr. Worker?
No questions.
Okay, Mr. Russell?
No questions.
Mr. Mills?
No questions.
Any questions for me?
Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application?
One here. Okay.
One here in opposition to this application. Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the applicant has addressed my concerns, and I believe the public's concerns and this board's concerns, as far as I'm concerned, is the for a special use exception. Mm-hmm. Was granted before. I don't believe there's anything new and the area is C1. So I believe the special use exception will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties, and you've spoke to that, addressed that. So I make a motion that we approve 11,363.
And I have a second to that motion.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Rickards, second by Mr. Workman, that we approve case number 11,363. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Mills?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,363 is approved.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.